How did you get involved in solving the cold cases in Raphael's book?
He shook his head and grinned.
Because I was an idiot. I worked as a forensic scientist in Scotland, Jane, but had to give it up when I came to France. I ended up teaching. Solving Raphael's cold cases started out as a bet. I'd kept myself up to date with the latest developments in forensics and figured that new science applied to old cases could bring new results.
With 100% success rate to date, I'm told.
Enzo inclined his head.
It's never quite that simple, and there are some cases in which science plays little or no part.
He hesitated for a moment.
Don't raise your hopes too high. I'm not sure I can live up to them.
She nodded.
In a way, I have no expectations at all. After all this time, and the number of people who've come and looked and left none the wiser, it seems to me that whatever it was Papa wanted Peter to know, only Peter could divine.
She sat back as the waitress came and took their plates, and waited until they were alone again.
They were terribly close, Peter and his father. Much closer than I ever was to either of my parents. In a way, they were hard to separate. Peter was like a clone of his father, a repeat version of the man, which, I suppose, is why I felt such an affinity with his papa, and why I took his death almost as badly. One came so hard on the heels of the other, it was almost too much to bear. The only thing that kept me focused during those dark days was the promise he forced me to make during that phone call. It was the reason I had to carry on.
And it occurred to Enzo that if keeping her promise is what had motivated her to get through that time, the fulfilment of it might leave a hole in her life that could be very hard to fill, and that while desperate to be free, finally, of what she had earlier described as a curse, that freedom might also steal away her only raison d'être. She was an intelligent woman, and it was a dichotomy, he was sure, of which she was only too aware. Enzo's fish arrived, pan-fried whole dorade. Soft, moist flesh, butter, garlic, crumbling floury potatoes. And it took all his attention, separating white flakes from fine bones, as they ate in silence until looking up to exchange smiles of shared pleasure.
"That was great," Enzo said,
and after the cold and the rain he felt almost restored. But he waited until their coffees arrived before asking the question that had been on his mind for some days.
"The thing," he said, "that has bothered me most since I first read about this case, was why anyone would bother to murder a terminally ill man."
But Jane just shrugged.
"I'm not sure that many people knew he was dying. Relatives and close friends, really. It's not exactly the sort of thing you advertise."
"No."
Enzo knew only too well from his brief experience of being diagnosed with a terminal illness that it was not something he wanted to share. It was almost as if, by acknowledging it, you were accepting it.
"Who did know, then?"
"I don't know exactly. His doctor, obviously. Peter and I. And I don't know who else he might have told. Certainly not Kerjean. Papa didn't really have what you would call close friends on the island. People knew him. He was regarded as something of an eccentric, I think. But he wasn't a man with an active social life. And after the diagnosis, he went out less and less.